Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging around with me. You're going to be glad you did because we got Dr. Timothy Clark here, ladies and gentlemen. Tim is founder and chairman of T.R. Clark Associates, LLC, which is an international consulting and training organization specializing in helping you change, helping you manage change. He's the author of the book Epic Change, How to Lead Change in the Global Age, and he's our new friend, Tim Clark. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. I love the topic of your book. I like your book. Congratulations, by the way. And my audience knows that I've been talking about this concept of change for a long time, but the perspective I've come from, Tim, is to say that there's nothing all that different about change today than the way it was 30 years ago or 3,000 years ago. A computer is just a fancy wheel. But the problem that we have today, and I think where all the anxiety is and all the tension is and all the projectile sweat is coming from is in the velocity of change. What do you think?
No, I think that's absolutely true. Change has always been with us, as you say, but what's different is that there's more of it and it's coming faster. And so the environment for leading, managing, growing a small business or any type of organization for that matter, the environment has changed because what you face as a leader now is one adaptive challenge after another in rapid succession.
And well, you know, remember the old saying, stop the world, I want to get off?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're old enough to remember that, but I forgot. It seemed like there was a movie like that or something, titled that or something. But sometimes that's what we want to do. Please stop the world. I want to get off for a while. Let it spin without me for a minute. But you can't do that, can you?
No, you can't. Matter of fact, the way that I talk about it in the book, too, is that we're always going through a competitive cycle, and we're either at the beginning of it or the middle of it or the end. Mm-hmm. But what's different is that the competitive cycles don't last as long as they used to. And so what leaders need to do is they need to understand, where am I in the competitive cycle that I'm in? Where am I in that? And how long is that projected to last? Because they're going to have to retool, and they're going to have to change the organization to some degree for the next competitive cycle. So these cycles come over and over again. They're just shorter than they used to be.
Right. Well, absolutely. And the way I've been describing that, Tim, over the years is that when I was a young pup, decades ago, coming up into the marketplace, we could design some kind of a business model or a product or strategy or a campaign or something like that. We could work hard. We could put our change shoes on, our change uniform on, and work hard and design it and get it ready to go and launch it, and then we could take our change clothes off and just execute that model for a year, maybe 3, 5, 10, who knows how long. But today you can't ever take your change clothes off, can you?
No, you can't.
Because whatever you design is going to last about 90 days.
Well, it may, depending on the industry that you're in. You've got to react and respond very, very quickly. One of the things that I found in my research is that if you go back 10 years or 20 years, you have a generation of workers, leaders, small business owners who were socialized in a completely different way. You could actually, back then, you could go for periods of time where the environment was very static, and so this allowed people to almost hide in the bowels of an organization without truly being tested.
Well, at that same time, a father could pass a business to his son, a son could pass it to the grandson, and three generations, and maybe the business model didn't change that much.
That's true. So, show me an industry where a business model will last that long anymore.
It doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
right.
And so what do we do about all this, Tim?
Well, what I did is I asked that very question, and so I went out and I studied all kinds of organizations, but I didn't limit it just to business organizations. I studied schools and hospitals and government agencies and nonprofit organizations to understand what are the world-class change leaders doing, and is there any pattern here? You know, there mm-hmm. are some people out there that are extremely successful in responding to an adaptive challenge. And what I found is I looked at those who succeed time and time again, and I found that they do follow a remarkably consistent pattern where they're always evaluating their environment and their internal performance. So it's kind of a four-stage process. They evaluate, then they prepare their organizations to change. They implement the change, and then they consolidate it. And they go through this cycle over and over again, evaluate, prepare, implement, and consolidate. That's where the EPIC acronym comes
right,
from, by the way.
Right, right.
And so regardless of the size of the organization, this process kind of leapt out at me as I looked at all of these different organizations across industry lines, across international boundaries. This is what the world-class leaders do.
Well, and the thing is we have to manage change, but we also have to lead with change, and that's what you've been talking about, and that's basically the main thing that you cover in your book. But how do you do that? How do you lead with change? Because when you have to keep your change clothes on all the time, it makes for a lot of tired people if you don't have the right attitude, doesn't it?
It sure does, and what you have to do is over time you have to gain a set of instincts so that you can what I call pace and space the organization, because you can outrun your resources.
Right.
And it's called
being on the bleeding edge, not the leading edge.
That's right, and that doesn't help. So you've got to be very wise about moving your organization to a new place. If you say it's time to break camp, that's fine, but now you've got to orchestrate that entire journey. You need a roadmap for that entire journey, and you need to be able to manage your resources and your energy very, very carefully as you go from stage to stage. So that's what I look at in great detail,
right,
so that you don't run into unintended consequences and so that your change initiative doesn't become another false start. Because as you know, Jim, you look around at organizations, they are littered with the failed remains of change initiatives that didn't work.
Absolutely. I've seen it many times. The book is called Epic Change. The author is Dr. Timothy R. Clark. He and I will be right back. We're going to get him to help us design that roadmap for our change of our businesses right after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. New York's fine, but it ain't dope. Tim, you mentioned a roadmap. You talked about a roadmap that you identified with the people that you interviewed, the people you talked to, that they seem to have roadmaps. Talk to us about how we can develop one of those, a changed roadmap for ourselves.
Well, the roadmap, as I said, consists of the four stages: evaluate, prepare, implement, consolidate. It begins with evaluate, which means that as a leader, you're always supposed to be evaluating your internal performance and then your outside environment. But here's what happens right off the bat, Jim. The first mistake that leaders make is they don't do that. They get complacent. So they're not vigilant. They're not looking around. And so what happens is there are three categories of adaptive challenge that you'll face as a leader. One is an opportunity. A second one is a threat. And a third one is a crisis. Mm-hmm. The difference among the three is how early or late to the game are you?
Can I stop you for a second?
You bet.
Folks, what Tim just said, opportunity, threat, crisis, that's a natural law, isn't it, Tim?
Well, it certainly appears to
be. I mean, are there any exceptions?
It's got to be in one of those categories.
It's going to be in those, and probably in that order. But it might mm-hmm. go from opportunity to crisis, if you know, in certain circumstances. My point is, I wanted to stop you for that for just a second, just to point out to folks, when you see something, if you say, "Boy, that looks like an opportunity, but I don't want to take advantage of it. I'm not ready to take advantage of it." Ask yourself this: okay, is this just going to pass me on by benignly, or is it going to turn into one of those other two steps that Tim mentioned?
That's right.
Go ahead, Tim.
So if you develop a sort of a distant early warning system as a leader and you're evaluating well and you're sensing the earliest signs of change on the horizon,
right,
that's an opportunity because you're able to act early, you're able to act preemptively to do what you want to do. If you're a little bit later than that and the adaptive challenge represents clear and present danger and it's completely visible to you, that becomes a threat. That's the next category. That means your adaptive challenge is closer to you and you have less time to respond.
Right.
The third category is a crisis, which means you have even less time because that adaptive challenge is either at the door or leaving tracks on your back. And so you have very little time, if any, to respond because you're in a crisis.
So if you see an opportunity that you haven't decided if you're going to take advantage of or not, in today's world, don't you need to at least say, okay, I'm either going to do that or I'm going to defend against it? What do you think, Tim?
Oh, that's absolutely true. You've got to have a plan one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, see, you can't just say that's an opportunity I'm not going to take advantage of and throw it away and get it out of your mind. You either have to do it or defend against it because somebody's going to do it, aren't they?
Somebody's going to do it, and so it's going to be a competitive issue that you're going to have to deal with in one way or the other. Either offensively or defensively, you're going to have to do something about it.
One of the ways I like to talk about this awareness that you mentioned a minute ago, being able to see these things, I call it my antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody gave me that term a long time ago. And folks, you got to develop an antenna for these kinds of things, so that when you hear or see any kind of a symbol or any kind of an image or any kind of a sense of this opportunity at first, you need to have your antenna run up and you need to go into that mode, don't they, Tim?
That's true, but let me mention this, Jim. One of the things that I discovered in my research is that success induces complacency. And that is why many leaders respond too late and they find themselves meeting a crisis. They haven't evaluated, which is step one. You're supposed to evaluate and you're supposed to do it early. But success often puts people to sleep, and so they respond late.
And you can't blame people. I mean, I go to all this trouble. I actually luck out and make it work. I'd like to take a breather, Tim. Give me a break.
Well, that's true. I think that's the natural reaction.
That's what happens, isn't it?
It is. It is. But that's why you've got to be on guard. You've got to be vigilant. You can't be asleep at the switch.
And here's one more thing I want you, Tim, as we wrap up today. You've got to hire people and build an organization that has its track shoes on all the time, don't you?
You do. You absolutely do. And one of the things, if I might mention, let me just fast forward. The last stage of the roadmap is to consolidate.
Yeah.
And the other huge failure pattern that we see among leaders is that they walk away too soon. They take their hands off the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go the distance. They think that, you know, they've achieved some early results, so they think that the change will run itself.
Yeah.
And very often, it just unwinds on them.
Tim, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but you've got a lot more to teach us. Will you come back another day?
I'd be happy to.
Give us the website and tell us where the book's available.
The website is trclarkassociates.com, and you can buy the book at any major bookseller online like Amazon.
Epic Change, EPIC, Epic Change by Timothy R. Clark. Check it out. Tim, thanks for being here. We'll look forward to next time already.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Tim Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.